My name is Wayne, and I'm with an agency called FAM Foster, Families for Families, and we do foster care and adoption, and so I want to share with you guys a little about that this morning, and hey, really, three steps this morning is pretty simple. We're going to talk about the call from God's Word, what's going on around in your community right here in Henry County and Clayton County, and what that looks like, and then how your family can be involved in that, and what you can do to be a part of helping children that are within a few miles of your church and maybe in your own neighborhood, and what you can do to be involved in that. And so, hey, as I start this morning, I want to say this. Sometimes when we talk about foster care and we talk about Henry County, somebody says, what about the kids overseas? Like, what about the kids in Haiti or Africa or India? And but then it's kind of funny because you talk about the kids over there and then somebody says, well, what about the kids in Henry County? And I just want to say this. I don't think we're ever going to get to heaven and God goes, you helped the wrong orphan. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think you're ever going to get there and God goes, man, and it was the kids in Haiti I cared about, not the ones in India. You guys did it all wrong. Like, I don't ever see that happening. And so I want to say this morning as we start. Hey, if you're doing something somewhere else, man, I thank you for doing that. And you don't need to feel compelled to, I got to do something here too, because this is the most important ministry. I don't see us ever getting to heaven and God says, I really cared about these and not these over here. And so as we talk about this morning, sometimes it's the people that are already stretched thin are like, hey, I'm going to jump involved in that too. And that's not why I'm here. And that's not what I want to be a part of. And so I really want to just this morning, just to give you information, because I think sometimes it's easy to not see what's going on next door and to focus on what's going on somewhere else. And also with the way we do foster care in our society today, it's very invisible unless you're looking for it. And so I want to share with you guys a little bit this morning. I'm going to share with you guys about God's call from the Word first. Hey, the word orphan is real simple. The technical definition of the word orphan is someone who is without a guide, someone who's without a guide. So the word orphan means someone who is without a guide. In the Old Testament, we looked at the orphan was someone who was fatherless. And so if dad had been killed in war or something, then the Old Testament considered that person to be an orphan. And even at times when that child had a mom in its life without a dad, they were still considered an orphan. But at that time, the church was supposed to step up and be the father to that child. In fact, all through Scripture, we see being a father to the fatherless. And so we're going to look at some passages this morning that talk about this. And the word foster care. Hey, people talk about this. Hey, there's this new problem we have now. It's all these kids all around the world, and these kids in Henry County and Atlanta and Fulton County. And there's this new problem, and the church is trying to figure out how to deal with it. It's really not a new problem at all. In fact, if you go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 22 and 23 says this. It says, you shall not afflict any widow or orphan, and if you afflict him at all and he cries out to me, I will surely hear his cry. So we know this is an old problem. It's been going on for years. I think, hey, most of you guys in here this morning would say, hey, I've done pretty good in this verse. Like, I did not afflict any orphans last week. Like, I wouldn't mean to any of them. I didn't take their clothes or take their last blanket or anything. And so I feel like I'm doing pretty good with this verse. And let me give you the literal translation of that verse. It actually means this. It means that you shall not allow any affliction to come upon any widow or any orphan. It means that if you know about it, and it's in your power to stop it, that God's called you to step up and do something about it. Does that make sense? So here's the cool thing is most of y'all know nothing about foster care this morning. But when you walk out of here, you will. So now you're going to have something to do. So it says you shall not allow any widow or any affliction, any widow, any orphan. Hey, we always see widow and orphan in the Bible together. They're almost always used in the same verse with that. And what that looks like. Let me share that with y'all. Hey, the widows are older, and they're an easy target for Satan. And the orphans are younger, and they're an easy target for Satan. And that's why God calls the church to step in and defend and to step up and to fight. In fact, most of the time with the widow, we see the word plead to give the widows a voice. And most of the time with the orphan, we see the word defend, which means to fight for them. In fact, the next verse says this. It says, Isaiah 1:17 says, he says, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Let me ask you a question. Think God would call us to defend somebody that wasn't being attacked? You ever think about that? God would never call us to defend somebody who wasn't being attacked. And so here in Isaiah 1:17, he says, I want you to defend the orphan. If you read the first 16 verses of Isaiah 1, it's the church talking about, hey, we're doing these new moon festivals and we have all these great parties and all this great stuff and we're doing all this cool stuff. And God says, no, that's not what I wanted. Really what I wanted you to do was learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. And he says, I'm calling you to defend and to fight for these kids. I'm calling you to step up and fight for these children who can't fight for themselves. People tell me sometimes about defending the orphan. It's a, we'll talk about numbers in just a minute, how many kids that are out there locally and even worldwide, how many kids are out there, and the problem seems overwhelming. And then I always hear this, man, I would help, but DFACS is so messed up. Like if you've ever worked with DFACS, you're like, man, I call them and they don't call me back. And for those of you guys who don't know, DFACS is Department of Family and Children's Services in Georgia. And they call it DFACS, Department of Human Services, DFACS. And so they're like, man, there's so much going on and it's just such a mess. I work with them every day, so I get it. But let me ask you a question. If you go back to the book of Exodus 22, you know why I think DFACS is so messed up? Because DFACS is trying to do something that God called the church to do, and we dropped the ball on it, and now we have a government agency trying to fulfill what God's already called the church and empowered the church to do. Does that make sense? And you're like, man, they're messed up. Listen, the reason they're messed up is partly because we're disobedient. The reason there's so many kids out there is partly because we're not taking care of them. And God wasn't speaking to a government agency when he wrote Isaiah and said, hey, I want this government agency. He said, hey, I want the church to take care of that. We'll talk about that in just a minute. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Remember, we talked about the Bible says to defend the orphan and to fight for the orphan. Well, 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be sober or be on alert. If your translation says that, be on alert. He says, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. If you have kids in here, you're probably always looking for like good television shows for them to watch. And so you always say, you can't watch the bad stuff, so we're going to watch National Geographic. And you turn the TV on, and there's little gazelles in Africa, right? And they're walking. This is good, wholesome entertainment for your kids, by the way. And they're walking in a field, you know, and they're getting too close to the trees. And what's sitting in the trees? The lions, right? And your daughters are going, run, run. And the boys are going, one more step. And we got them. And you've turned off the bad stuff, but you want them to watch this, so I get it. Okay, we do the same thing. All right, and so the lions are like, and the boys are like, just one more step. And all of a sudden, the little gazelles are out there, and they're kind of going around. And then all of a sudden, it's called a pride of lions. They all jump out at one time, right? And what do the gazelles do? They scatter. Now, here's the cool thing. They all run off, right? And you're like, man, the lions, you're like, they're not getting any of them. The lions run in the middle of the pack to scatter the gazelles. They want the strong ones to run off. They're fine with that because there's three gazelles they're looking for. Number one, they're looking for the older gazelles that can't run as fast, which would be me, all right? Then they're looking for the weak gazelles. The Bible talks about the widows, the older ones, the weak and the poor. They're looking for the weak gazelles, maybe sick, and they got wounded previously. They may have got hurt in life somehow, and they can't run as fast. Then there's a third gazelle they're looking for. Who's that? The youngest gazelles, the babies. Because the babies don't know where to go. Babies don't know where to run to. And so the three gazelles that they're looking for are the old, the young, and the weak. So, man, when Satan comes into a church to scatter us, and we're like, man, we made it out okay, but we left the weak behind and they got taken down. And so this passage here in 1 Peter 5:8 is talking about the point of the gospel is not that when danger comes, the strong run off. The point of the gospel is that when danger comes, the strong run back. The whole point of the gospel is that when Satan comes, is that we don't scatter, we unite to fight him together. And we say, hey, to get to that child, you got to go through us. Hey, to get to this orphan, you're going through First Baptist Eagles Landing. You're going to have to go through our church to get to this kid. And if Satan's looking for an easy target, guess what he's going to do? He's going to run. He doesn't want to mess with all you guys. He wants that one kid by himself without a protector. One of the sayings I have, if Satan can remove the father or destroy the family, society will take care of everything else. So it's a real simple process that Satan has. Hey, if I can just break down the family, if I can destroy the family, then I got free shot at these kids. Hey, men, Satan's not trying to take you out to take you out. He's trying to take you out to get to your kids. And so look at this, 1 Peter 5:8, and it's very clear that's the way Satan works. Look at Psalms 82:3 says this. It says, vindicate the weak and the fatherless and do justice. Do justice for the afflicted and destitute. You know, all through Scripture, we never see the passage be a mother for the motherless. Unless you have some kind of new translation. But all the translations I have, they say be a father to the fatherless. You know what's amazing? Is that taking care of the orphan is more of a call to men than it is to women. It's more of a call for dads to step up and to fight and to be the protector. And the sad part is so much of this ministry is led by women. When actually dads calls us to step up, you step up and be a fight. You know that father is the only name you get to share with God? There's no other attributes that you get to share with God. There's no other names you get to share with God except the word father. It's that you get to be a father to the fatherless. That's a cool thing if you think about it, and an awesome responsibility that I get to be a father to the fatherless, that you get to be a father to a fatherless. There's a book that Truett Cathy wrote. It's called It's Easier to... I just forgot the name of it. It's Easier to Men. Anyway, it's about boys and men. It's a really good book, and you guys need to look into it. It's called Bringing Up Boys. It's easier to bring up boys than it is to men, something like that. And so in this passage, in this book, he writes, and he goes that a child that has a father in its life, it doesn't have to be a biological father, just a father figure in his life, it's like 27% less likely to get pregnant as a teenager, 30% less likely to wind up in jail, and all these stats from suicide and everything just from having a male figure in their life. It's an incredible book. And so this is what I want to propose to you this morning. Hey, listen, when the family breaks down and Satan comes in and he messes families up, and we see that happening every day, is that God's plan was that the church would step up and be that family, is that we would step up and be the family. The last verse says this, in case somebody out there goes, all those are Old Testament verses. I have a New Testament verse for you too. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God our Father is to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep yourself unstained by the world. Hey, that word, it says pure religion. My Bible says, translation, pure religion. This is why I think God calls this pure religion. You ready? It's because you are investing in somebody that can never pay you back. When you invest in a child that's an orphan, they're never going to pay you back. Does that make sense? If they had a rich uncle somewhere, that uncle would have taken care of them. So you're investing in something that you get no return for your investment on. Kind of like God's investment in us. He brings everything to the table and we bring nothing. But yet he still decides to invest in us and take care of us. So that's James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion. Then he talks about the widows in there too. You always see there again, we see the word orphan, the widow used together. And so, hey, I believe that God's called, this is my conviction, is God's called the church to do this. And God's called the church to take care of the needs that are in their area. And the call comes from God's word and how to do that. And so I want to talk to you guys a little bit about local need, like what's going on right around you in foster care. Hey, up until 5 or 6 years ago, I had no idea what went on in foster care. Didn't understand it. Didn't even know there was kids in foster care. And so I want to share with you guys just some local things that are right around you guys right here. So here they are here. How many of you guys live in Henry County? Anybody live in Henry County here? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so about 211 kids in foster care, all right, in your county. That was about a month or so ago. That number's gone up just a little bit. So I did the math and the square miles of Henry County and the kids in foster care because I like that kind of weird stuff. If you drove more than a mile and a half to church this morning, if all the kids were spread out over the county, you passed a foster kid. If you drove more than 3 miles, you passed two this morning on your way to church. Now, those 211 kids that are in foster care in Henry County, only about half of them are placed in the county. The other half are placed all over the state. So let me tell you how that works. DFACS moves in, and they take two children last week or last night, 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So they pick up the phone, they call a private agency like ours, and they say, hey, we just picked up a five-year-old and three-year-old. Can you guys take them? And we say, we have a home for the five-year-old, but not the three-year-old. So the five-year-old stays in Henry County, and the three-year-old goes to Rome, Georgia. Or sometimes they split two and three kids up in two or three different houses. Does that happen? Every day. Because kids are always coming into care, they're always going home. And so in a matter of 4 or 5 minutes, when the police show up, a child will lose his mom and or dad, his house, their community, and many times their siblings. And so everything for that five-year-old changes 4 or 5 minutes. 211 kids from Henry County this morning woke up in foster care in a home they didn't ask to be in. Many of them separated from their siblings. They don't know when they're going to see their siblings again. They don't know when they're going to see mom and dad again. They don't know what's going on. They just know that somebody picked them up in a uniform and placed them with somebody and put them in a home, and they're not sure what's going on with that. You say, well, does that happen a lot? Well, yeah, it happened a lot yesterday. Butts County, 45. Anybody live in Clayton County? 249 kids in Clayton County in foster care. All right. Spalding County, 159. Pike County, Meriwether County. We were down in Griffin, or down in Eagles Landing at Griffin, and so I pulled some of their counties up. Anybody here live in Fulton County? Okay, well, never mind then. All right. 600 kids in foster care in Fulton County. Hey, Gwinnett County. I was born and raised in Gwinnett County. Gwinnett County has about 600 kids in foster care. Gwinnett County is the number one county for meth distribution in our nation. In our nation. That's the bad part. The good part is the Gwinnett County Police have done a lot to do away with that, and DFACS is working, and so they've done a lot to run that meth out of Gwinnett County. Guess where it's coming to? Henry County, Barrow County, Walton County. All right? And so when you look at that, you're like, man, there's all these problems that are going on. Here's another stat for you. There's about 400 kids in foster care that are waiting to be adopted right now. That means the state has ended parental rights, and you can adopt those children for free. And we'll be talking to you guys more about that. There are about 13,000 kids in foster care statewide. 4 years ago, we were at about 8,000. Today, we're about 13,000 kids in foster care. And here's one for you. You ready? There's about 20,000 Protestant churches in Georgia that we can track. Now, that doesn't include all the non-denominational churches, all that stuff. You can't track all of them, but they're out there. It's 20,000 Protestant churches. So let me put it to you this way. If every church took one child, you know what I mean? Not one sibling group, but one child, and that church came around and supported that family that took that one child, only half, almost half the churches would have to take a kid. The other half would be waiting on a child. So the question you got to ask yourself is, do we have this massive problem with foster care, or do we have a problem with the church not being involved in foster care? My family and I went on a cruise last week. First time we've ever done that before. Anybody been on a cruise in here before? It's a terrible place for your kids because everything you teach them is off the table. You know, where do we put our trays at? You don't. You leave them on the table. Somebody will pick them up. So I'm sure there's going to be some retraining for that. And so not that we ever had them really trained good the first time, but we got on this cruise ship last Sunday. We got back actually late last night. We got on this cruise ship last Sunday, and we walk on the boat. I had a daughter who's 10. She actually turned 11 on the cruise, and she's like, so is ice cream free? I'm like, that's going to be a problem. We're like, yes, sweetie, it's free. And so I don't think she made it past the ice cream machine one time without getting a little cone full of ice cream or something. And we're on the boat for like an hour, and they're like, we need everybody to report to their mustard station. I'm like, man, what's this cool mustard like they got for the hot dogs or something? And so you guys know if you've been on one, right? They put you all on this one level. It's like herding cattle. And you're out there, and these lifeboats are hanging above you. And so they go through all the things that you got to go through, you know. In case of a crisis, that means the boat's sinking, right? That's what that means, you know. In case of a fire or something, what we want you to do is we want you to go back to your room and get your life jacket and then report back to your mustard station in a calm-like manner. Well, our room was on the lowest level in the back of the boat next to the broom closet, okay? Every time the motors turn, we could hear them, all right? And so so I'm like, if the boat's sinking, I'm not going down to come back up, right? Okay. And so we're out there and there's these boats hanging off, and I'm thinking, I wonder if they've actually really thought through this, like how many seats there are on the lifeboats and all that kind of stuff, because I think that way. And they're like, now listen, when you come back to the your muster station with your life jacket, please don't bring any personal belongings, don't bring any bags, don't bring any articles with you. We'll have food. My daughter's like, is there an ice cream machine on that boat? That's all I need. And so she don't bring any kind of food with you or anything. Just show back up just you, because that would take up precious space for other people to sit in the boat with you. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, how many people are on this boat? How many lifeboats? So there's 30 lifeboats. There's 4,500 seats on those lifeboats, and there's 3,600 people on the boat. So I'm figuring that's pretty good. Okay, there's 900 extra seats. Now, I'm assuming that's for the crew. I don't know. But that was the plan. Hey, listen. Whoever built that huge boat had a plan if the boat was going to fail, and it was the lifeboats. So I got two questions for you this morning. Think God had a plan for families if the families failed? You know what the plan was? It was church. Wonder if the lifeboats failed. There is no other plan to get off that boat. Let me tell you something. There's no other plan God had for failing families in Henry County and all across the world than your family and your church. The church was God's plan A, and there's no plan B. That's it. Here's the other question I got for you this morning. Do you think your life looks more like a cruise ship or a lifeboat? I mean, I wonder if our lives look more like a cruise ship, or man, we're a rescue boat. We're just about rescuing people and saving people. God had a plan for foster care. 13,000 kids in foster care in the state of Georgia. God had a plan. He put 20,000 churches in Georgia to take care of 13,000 kids. It doesn't seem to be that big of a stretch. I spoke at a pastor's conference one time, and I was like, you know, if every pastor just took in one kid, we'd solve the whole problem. They never asked me to come back to that conference. I've never been able to speak there again. So that's the plan. Hey, I want to tell you guys, sometimes when you hear all these facts, I know some of you guys are like, man, this is the worst church service ever. I feel horrible going out here this morning. So this is one of the sayings I like to say. It says, you can't change the whole world, but you can change the whole world for one kid. You know, nobody in this church is going to bring in 211 kids into your home, I hope. But this is what I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about, you know what, there's no way I can change the whole world, but if I can change the whole world for one kid, that's a start. In fact, the point of the gospel is not that we turn everything into corporations and we make stuff. The point of the gospel is that families just take responsibility for their families and the families next door, and everything gets taken care of like that. It's the whole concept of making disciples that Jesus left us with. And so I'll tell you guys a story this morning, and then I'm going to wrap up. And so let me tell you a story about a little girl. And she was born May 6, 2012, about midnight. And here's a picture of her. There it is. Oh, she was born May 6, 2012, in Atlanta, and she was left behind a dumpster. And she was born with five drugs in her system, cocaine being the worst. Alcohol, everything else. And so somebody saw the commotion, and they called the police, and the police came and picked her and her mother up. They took her to Grady Hospital, where they left the mom, and the mom got the medical attention that she needed, and then mom left. And mom left the girl, and she went out doing whatever she was going to do. All right? First year, that child comes into care. She goes through seizures, lots of trips to Chola Hospital. Here's a picture of her about 6 months later. Another picture of her. She is cute, isn't she? And so about 6 months later, and that's after lots of trips to Chola Hospital, and not sure what's going on with her, and no one can find mom. No one know what's going on with DFACS. And state's talking adoption. 53 weeks later, that girl who was in foster care, mom would have another child and abandon her as well. And so here's a picture of this other child. And y'all not think she's cute as the first one or something? I mean, what's it? So that's a picture of another child. So she would come into foster care, and she would, because of drug use and some deformities and have some major brain problems, and some of her brain just didn't develop, and so there's some medical issues there, and she has some special needs and everything that goes with foster care with these kids. Some of you guys are saying, how many guys, if you're honest, you say, what kind of mom would do that? All right, a lot of hands went up. Let me share with you what kind of mom would do that. You ready? A mom that was abused by her birth father, put into foster care at 5 years old, where she would spend the next 13 years of her life, and on her 18th birthday, she would become homeless, because that's what happens to kids if they don't get a family before they turn 18, they become homeless. You say, Wayne, does that happen? Yeah, about 700 times a year in our state. So before you come back next week, 12 more kids will age out of foster care and become homeless. So at an 18-year-old girl, how does she make a living? The only way she knows how. By the way, Atlanta is the number one city in our nation for sex trafficking, and 87% of the girls that are in trafficking in Atlanta come out of foster care. You want to end sex trafficking? You take care of foster kids and you give them families, and you just took away 87% of the target. You say, Wayne, why does that happen? Because those girls don't have a protector. They don't have a dad in their life. Just say, uh-uh. That's my daughter. And to get to her, you're going to go through me. That's why that happens. Because the thing about Satan and the real enemy and looking for kids, that's not just a story, it happens. We know Satan has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy. We know if you watch the lions and how they work, they go right for the juggler on those animals when they go after them. Satan goes right for the juggler with our kids. And he's trying to get us out of their lives so he can get a free shot at them. If a boy turns 18 before he graduates high school, he has a better chance of going to jail than he does graduating high school. The girl turns 18 and she's put out on the streets. She can run away with her boyfriend, but we don't know if she ran away with her boyfriend or if she ran away with her boyfriend and he sold her an hour later, no one ever sees her again. And she's written off as a missing person. Does it happen every day? So is it a big deal that these kids have families? Yeah. You say, well, I don't understand how people abandon kids. I don't understand how this happens. In 2012, 2013, we had about 18,000 kids in care. Today, we're over 13,000. Because kids that are in foster care that were abandoned now abandon their kids, and the cycle continues. Does that make sense? You got to ask yourself the question, what's this going to look like in 5 or 6 years if the church is silent? Well, this story has a good ending, or a better ending. April 8th, here's the next picture here. April 8th, 2014, my family, my wife and I adopted both those little girls. And they're Abby and Ashley. I'm pretty good friends with your pastor, Tim, and he asked me if I'm going to tell them if they're adopted or not. And we're just thinking the conversation may come up one day, and I don't know why, but it might. And so we adopted both our little girls. Let me tell you the cool thing about our girls. You ready? The day we adopted them, they said, hey, we know a girl 9 years ago that was in foster care with the same last name. You know what my prayer was? I hope she's been adopted. She has. She actually lives about 4 or 5 miles from your church down here. Her name is Christina. Here's a picture of Christina. Christina, mom also has put 2 other girls in foster care. One's in Tennessee, one's in Snellville. One's been adopted. The one in Tennessee, the girl in Snellville, was adopted, abused, and put back in foster care. Let me share something else. Go back to that picture in the blue. Can you go back? I guess you can. We were at a church about three or four years ago, and I was sharing it with a church at First Baptist Conyers, and this guy goes, there's this homeless lady in Atlanta, and she kind of looks like your oldest daughter. I don't think babies look like adults. Any baby looks like any adult. But anyway, so he's like, if you interested in hearing about it? I'm like, yeah. Well, so he calls me up about a month later, and he gives me the name. I had the original birth certificate, and he said, was her name so-and-so? And I was like, yeah, that's her name. And so we go down every Christmas morning and take the girls down to visit their birth mother in Atlanta. She has Christmas with them. She loves them, holds them, takes care of them. She calls her other kids on the phone on Christmas Day. We sit in a parking deck somewhere, my whole family does, or an alley or somewhere, and she's homeless. We just go find her, and we start asking police officers, ambassadors, have you seen so-and-so? And they all know her down there. And so we spend time with her. And you know what? One of our prayers is that maybe God will use our girls to take the gospel back to their mom. People are like, you know, if I bring a kid into my home and I take care of him for like a year and he goes back home, I don't know if I can handle that or not. Man, how cool would it be for you to bring a kid into your home, put him in the student ministry at this church or the kids ministry, they hear about Jesus and they take that Jesus back to their birth families. See, foster care is not about growing your family. Foster care is about expanding God's kingdom. It's about a way to expand the gospel into families that would never hear about it. How neat would it be for you to bring a kid into your home and that kid come into your home and be involved in a kids program here at church, and they do a program on stage one Sunday night or Sunday morning, and birth moms show up and hear about Jesus for the very first time? Because that's what foster care becomes all about, is how do we get the gospel to these kids and how do we get the gospel to their parents? And let me share this with you. It doesn't take any more grace to reach that mom as it does one of those little girls. And so what we're about as an agency, as a family, we're called Families for Families because we're about your family is meeting the needs of another family and your family being a part of something that another family is longing for. The other two girls' names are Christina, who lives not too far from here, and Alicia, who lives in Tennessee. Mom's also given birth to two boys who have died within a month of being born because of some genetic disorders. So here's a mom that aged out of foster care at 18, has put seven kids back in foster care, and the cycle continues. The only way to break the cycle is for the church to step up and lead these kids to Christ and lead these parents to Christ. This morning, you have we'll be at the table when it's over, and I want to share this with you guys. There's an info session, and it's August 6th from 4 to 6 p.m. at this church, okay? And you can come that night, and we will tell you all about foster care, all about adoption. If you adopt through DFACS or if you adopt like through our agency that goes through DFACS, most of the adoptions are free of charge. The most you pay for adoption is about $1,500 through one of our attorneys that we work with to adopt a child. If you just want to foster, if you just want a respite, which respite means you keep kids on the weekend and say that my wife and I are fostering and we go out of town for 3 or 4 days and you keep our foster kids for us because we couldn't take them because we were going somewhere or whatever, you can babysit, you can cook meals, you can provide transportation. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can keep kids for a week. Maybe you keep kids for 6 months. Maybe you keep kids for a year that are in foster care. But August 6th from 4 to 6 p.m., we're going to be back in here or back at this church somewhere at a room, and we're going to be doing an information session on taking the next step. Just so everybody knows, you're not taking any kids home with you that night. There's a home study. There's a process to go through. So it's okay to send somebody, and we'll just give them information. I'm going to come back and do this information session. If some of you guys are like, man, I'm ready to start today, you can drive down to your Griffin campus tonight from 4 to 6 p.m. I'll be down there tonight doing an information session for them. We spoke there a couple weeks ago. If neither one of those dates work for you, you can go on our website, and we literally have these things almost every Sunday, at least every other Sunday. And if that doesn't work for you, you can email me, and my wife and I will come to your house, and we'll do one with you one-on-one and answer all your questions about foster care so that your family can get involved. Hey, I would love to know at your church, just your church, how many empty bedrooms or spare bedrooms there are between both services. Because I bet it could probably take care of most of the kids in Henry County. And I believe God's going to call some of you guys to foster and some of you guys to support other families that are in foster care. It's an incredible need. It's an incredible ministry. If you think about it, that the government would take a child and give them to a faith-based agency who would place them in your home where you can pray for that child and bring that child to church every week and share the gospel with them, and they're going to reimburse you for doing that, is an incredible thing just to think about within itself. And so that's kind of what we do. We go, we're at churches almost every week speaking and talking about foster care to church next week and doing the same thing again. And so I wanted to, sometimes when you hear all the numbers and everything, you're like, man, 13,000 kids and there's a million orphans worldwide and all that stuff. You hear all the numbers and you're just, it's a little bit overwhelming. And so I wanted to introduce y'all to my girls this afternoon. It's at 12 o'clock. So. Ashley, the youngest one I told you about last, she's very bashful. This is Ashley. See, there's the bashful part. And this is Abby. You don't like them, Abby? Nope. She's like, nope. And this is my wife, Kelly. And she's the one, you guys, you men know, she's the one that does most of the work with them. And we just take the credit. And so this is Abby and Ashley. We have five biological kids. Caleb's here with me tonight, or this morning. And my other kids, they've heard this sermon enough, so they went and did something else. And so this is them. And this is why. This is why every Sunday we're getting our cars and going somewhere and talking. You know what? We got seven kids in our home. The state wouldn't even let us have any more. If they would, my younger kids would definitely take them. So now we feel like our calling with foster care, since we can't take any more kids, is just hopefully we can encourage somebody else to do the same thing. And so my prayer for you guys this morning is just to consider taking a child or two children, not changing the whole world, but change the whole world for one kid. You know what? The story I told you about their birth mother, she was this age when she went into foster care and grew up and aged out. These girls are no longer an easy target for somebody because I got a daddy and a mama that's going to come after somebody. And if they're lucky enough to get through us, they got two brothers. It's going to be a bad day. All right? So thank you. We're going to be at the table. It's straight out the back here on the left-hand side. When church is over, we love to stop by and talk to you. If you don't talk to us, you just come by and see our girls because they're really cute. And you can do that. Hey, we love you guys. Come by and get one of these and sign up on your website and come be a part of that. Some people ask me, they're like, Wayne, I'm a single parent. Can I foster? Absolutely. Hey, Wayne, we both have jobs. Can I still foster? Absolutely. The state will pay for 100% of the daycare for those children. And so at the information session, we're going to walk through all those questions and what all that looks like with you guys. And I'll just encourage you this. If you're just leaning a little bit towards, I got a few questions I want answered, you come to the information session in an hour and a half, we'll answer all those questions. If we don't, we'll meet with you afterwards and go over it. And I promise you this, something that we try to do, we don't charge for any of our home studies that we do. We don't charge for anything. I raise money for that so that my staff can do that for you guys as a service. And I want to say this to you. Hey, what I want to do is I want to knock down every barrier that I can so you guys can be foster parents and you guys can be adoptive parents. And I want you guys to know that, hey, your church, you guys could change foster care for with Henry County.